Welcome to This Is Our Earth podcast. I am Sylvia Puentes, and I invite you to these amazing conversations that explore the wonder and magic of connecting with our beautiful planet. Inspired by El Lugar, the Place, originally a book by Gary Douglas, and now being actualized on our earth as we speak. What can we each be that would create a sustainable living earth? I have the privilege to be here with you to introduce or maybe just welcome three amazing people that are out currently in Costa Rica to share the story and really the celebration of this magical, I say magical, and they're going to share so much more details of this project, Eco Resort, and an invitation to the entire world that to know that we can create something totally different. So thank you, David Cubes, Dr. David Cubes, Dr. Claudia Cano, and David Caddy, three people that have probably the close engagement, the most, I would say the most, it's almost this sweet engagement, but it's even way more with that, with El Lugar. You guys have been three people that have been on the property probably the most than anyone.
Yes.
And know it in such a different way than most of us. So we're here at the year anniversary of the construction. Truly, like wherever you'd like to begin, I mean, but, you know, looking at this vision that started way before, you know, wherever you'd like to start, but that space of the idea, and then here we are celebrating the year of construction.
Well, I remember the start of construction very well. It was exactly a year ago, and what we always did with El Lugar, we just kept going. We had no detail. We knew what we wanted, and we just created it choice by choice. Probably other people would say step by step. We just knew we had to begin. So when we said, let's start construction in March, we invited David Keddy to move to El Lugar and be here, live here, to actually be on site when construction goes on. He arrived March 1st, and the day we hit ground, the world stopped functioning. It was exactly 2 days before the worldwide lockdown due to coronavirus occurred for the first time. That was a year from now. We didn't even go into, okay, will we stop as well? Will we stop and wait as everybody else? It didn't hit us. And that for me was, I had to leave because the world was locking down. There was no time to prepare. There was just, you know, okay, I got 9 hours to get notified, got on the last flight out. And then it was just the world shut down. And El Lugar kept going as if pandemic and lockdown wouldn't exist. The person on site managing all of this and actually instituting this magic, sitting here with me, David Keddy, who was brave enough to pack his bags and move in at El Lugar and just keep it going. So,
yes, and I've been waiting around for it to start, and it seemed like it was taking forever. And I just,
as you get zoomed in,
we're very professional.
So I just knew I had to come on the 1st of March, having no idea what was going to show up or anything. I needed to be here. And at that point in time, we'd had all these meetings for maybe a year with different companies and all these different plans and of who we were going to use. And Claudia and David arrived, I think a week later, and we had to come to a choice. And the choice at that point was to get rid of the big contractor and just go with hiring people individually. And it was, yes, it was just a total adventure to change from what we'd been talking about all along. And then, yeah, totally different plan of attack.
And so David Caddy, there's a question that a lot of people tend to ask, and you know, you're a big lead on the ground at Elugar. They would like to know, how is it that you became involved with the Elugar project originally? Like, how did that come about?
Well, he sent us his CV. He said, carpenter going on retirement soon is looking for a job.
So how it happened was Gary just called me up one day and he wanted me to work on the castle. He said, could you help me out? So for me, I just said, sure. I didn't have anything else because supposedly I was retired, whatever that means. So then I went to the castle and helped out put that together. And then from that, it was just like a obvious step to move here and continue creating that timelessness, which is such a interesting adventure when you start looking, as we have been, at the hotels and things to see how can we make it more. And yeah, it's been a real interesting adventure for me to be able to see that. And I can't even, I often sit with David in the morning and we just look at, I try and describe what it's like for me to be in a place and see what could change or be different in, and this time here that we've had has been incredible because it's allowed me to reconnect with that timelessness, which is great after 1 year of slowly plodding along. Just as funds came in, we kept going and just perfect flow of everything. Just like ramping up, it's been amazing.
Thank you, David. And I actually really appreciate that this question was asked because, you know, I've known David Caddy for many years, but getting to see him with Elugar, you guys may, I don't know, David, but you kind of, there's always this sense you get choked up a bit, like when you, I don't know if that's the presence of Elugar, but there's such a beautiful space that you have with Elugar that's so different than other people. So, you know, what did Gary Douglas know in asking you to work on these projects and what you're aware of that maybe has no words, but so grateful for you. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And David, you know, you lead this big part also of, you know, finding magical ways to fund Elugar. Like, you know, David, one of the things David Caddy just said is that as the money came in, so as a business in construction in this last year, what have you learned or what have you actually gotten to see different about this project and maybe even business?
Well, what I truly learned when we started construction was never quit, always move on. There will always be a way around, even with this big money. One of the side effects of COVID was that we had a bank financing kind of lined up so we can finish it within a year. And of course, the first thing that the bank said was, okay, it's a tourist project, it's locked down, and they withdraw from the loan offer. So we had nothing. It was just, okay, $15 million that we counted on were suddenly gone. And we said, you know what, let's just do it different. And let's just use the funds we have. We have this amazing possibility of timeshare investment that was always in place. We started something called the loan bonds. We started with memberships. We started engaging and we started allowing whatever contribution showed up to be part of it and also to receive. We didn't go, oh my God, we ran out of money, we need help. No, we said, you know what, we keep going and we do it no matter what. So as soon as the lockdown was over, on the very first flight that flew into Elugar and into Costa Rica again after lockdown, of course I was on. And actually, as David said, we didn't deal with those big contractors. We had individual small companies from the region, from the area. And we just sat down with each and everyone and said, hey guys, this is going on. How can we keep going? Can you help us? And they all came up with brilliant creative ideas on how we can keep going. And up to now, everything was paid, everything was constructed, infrastructure is done, the first houses are there. We just kept going. And funny part, and I don't know if you all know that already, but also the banks came back because during lockdown, we put about $5 million into the project and they couldn't believe it. They said, you should be on lockdown. You shouldn't keep going. So the bank came back and last Wednesday at 8 p.m., our loan got finally approved. That was probably the best anniversary gift. Yeah, they came back and said, hey guys, there were actually two elements that they couldn't believe. It was the mayor of Sarabiki, that's the area where Eluga is. The statistics of unemployment were highly, they skyrocketed in the whole country. In Sarabiki, they went down because we employed everyone during COVID. So the mayor called us and said, what are you doing? And then, of course, Costa Rica is a very small country. This information ended up at the Banco Nacional of Costa Rica. So they came back and said, you know what? They kept going. That's what we're here for. Let's help them out. So it all turned out. It all turned out very well. We just never went into panic. There is no panic. That's what I learned. No matter how dark the future seems to be, you can always turn the light on. You just need to look for the lighter.
I love it, David. And that has been one of the gifts that I've seen as you both have taken on, you know, this adventure in so many different ways is that, okay, what else, what else, what else? And those, and what a gift, because this isn't a small project. This is a large project, really the scale of it. And so that story for other people that may have smaller projects or even a big project, the willingness to keep going and never stop is beautiful. And Claudia, with you, there is just a magical story with you as well. But, you know, some people have heard the story and other people haven't. But, you know, one of the questions that we wanted to make sure we asked all of you is like, how did you originally become engaged with this project or El Lugar? So I don't know. As we're celebrating the year, it's also, you know, recalling that. So what would you like to share about that?
Well, I would love to share that it started just like, that would be wonderful. And it was almost like 10 years ago, maybe, when the idea of it will be wonderful to have a place for us as in communion with nature, as all of us in the planet, and seeing it coming to fruition, it's mind-blowing. It's just magical. And every step of the project is magic and more magic. There's no mind to it. There's no step A, B, C. It just like falls into place perfectly. And there is no way to really put it in words. I would just say magic. And I know it's really bizarre when you come to creating a project this big. And yeah, magic. Because you have to have like all these things to it. Like the magic David Cubes is with financial. And the magic David Caddy is with construction. But it's just magic all around. And that thing that Kuba said about never stopping, just keep moving forward. And it started like a dream and now it's just flowing, moving, and it's gonna be so amazing, already is. And it's just a beyond to go everywhere is here in Costa Rica we've been to. And it's like, oh, it's nice. And El Lugar is out of this reality, out of this world, and we'll see what else can we create with it.
But what do you all need to know about Claudia? She's the one who found the place. And when we were driving 6 hours from El Lugar to Guanacaste, which is in the north of Costa Rica, and we asked her all the details, a long ride. And this is actually, yeah, this is how the project began with magic, because it wasn't on sale. So maybe, Claudia, you wanna tell us how the land found you.
Well, Gary asked me to start looking for a place, and it was really interesting this trip because Cubes asked me, okay, what were you actually looking for? What did you tell the real estaters? I was just like, oh, it's just a place we want to build a hotel. Like, that was it. I didn't have like square meters. I didn't say with a cataract. I didn't say near to nothing. And they just give me a bunch of places, which I went and see 100 or hundreds of them. And then the place just magically show up and was like, hey, I'm here. Wanna come and see me?
And that's not to forget that you visited many places. And the story I've heard is that you were on your way out to catch a flight when you were called about this place.
Yes. And there were so many fun stories, like looking into places. When we went to Guanacaste, it was like, oh, this is the airplane where you, when they weigh you with your luggage. And then you almost have to run to catch the plane. And it was so funny just remembering all that. And yes, I was in my way out. And a guy that we knew from another hotel that we visited called me and said, I find out that you're looking for a place. To buy a place, and there's this place available. It's not really listed to be sold, but the guy is considering it. So I thought of you, I don't know why. So do you wanna go and see it? So with all my bags and everything, I just head there, and it was amazing, totally amazing. It was next to another one I saw before, and the energy of the lugar, everything was like being in a different universe compared to the neighbor's land. And every single time I went to a place where I thought like it has potential to be it, I will call Gary and I'm like, ah, this maybe. And he will go like, yeah, maybe, maybe not, you know, and we'll add it to a list. And every night we will be talking and la, this place. It. And then when I went there, I didn't even call him. I was like, this is it. So when I got to the airport, I just called him like, I found it. And he just went like, yes, it is true.
So, wow, and that's the magic part. You guys may have heard Claudia just say, but the place wasn't even listed. Someone, you know, heard about it and thought of Claudia and called her. Like, those are that magical pieces that don't make sense, don't have that linear part to how you think things are created, which is really, really beautiful. There's another question coming in. It says, can you talk about how you let the vision or the dream guide you, allowing it to change along the way? You know, because we know a lot of businesses or projects, they're set, you know, business plan, the whole deal, and you go that way or no way. So how did you guys allow that to all change along the way, and what did it contribute to you?
Well, since I was the one writing a business plan about the project, I was probably learning the most out of it because I had to. I mean, there are things in this reality that are required. You can't just go, oh, I have a dream, I have a vision, give me $25 million and it will be great. It takes a little bit more than that. And I was kind of constantly commuting between what's true for us and what does this reality require. So I was writing up a business plan. I was doing all the calculations. We put all together the whole, what they call, you need to have all your documents in place, okay? You need to set up a company. You need to have a bank account. You need to have a business plan. You need to have an idea of how much you will charge for the rooms. You have to create a forecast of the first 3 business years. If you don't have that, nobody will even take your application for a loan. So I was the one preparing all of this with the help of Gary to not buy into it and not to look at it as this is what we need, this is the solution. It was, no, this is what they require, and still we know we can change it at any time. And for me, this was mind-blowing. I haven't done a project so far where change was actually the driving force. Everybody was like, no, this is the plan, this is how it works, and let's stick to the plan. In this project, it was, let's follow the energy. Let's be in question and let's move on being question, and let's not stick to the plan, because if you stick to a plan, you might miss out on even greater possibilities. And I, just one example, we needed an environmental license here. Costa Rica is a very, very strict with building permits next to a national park. And we actually have national park on both sides of the property. So we were under laser focus of the authority. They are called Setena. And we have a lot of water wells and lakes at El Lugar, and they're all protected. And suddenly Setena, and we did a research on where we can build, and then Setena said, wait a minute, we need to check that, because there might be more water, and then probably the whole area is protected. You can't even build a single house. So we have already thought that we have lakes with a protection area of 50 meters around. Then Setena came and said, we need to check if we find more. So they found out that this is actually not a lake, it's a creek. And if it's a creek, the protection area is not 50 meters, it's just 10. So everybody else would have gone, oh my God, what did we miss out? And the end of the day, it turned out that we have way more flexibility, that we can spread out the houses even more, because the protection area got reduced by 35 meters up to 40 meters. And seeing that being created without panicking, and I did panic at the beginning, I have to be really honest here, but every time I called Gary, I said, hey, don't come to conclusion. Be in question. Let's see what else is possible. So don't go there. Be in question, what else is possible? And he always said, there will be a way. Don't you worry. This is going to happen. So that driving force, that knowing that
there's always a way.
There's always a way. There is. And it's kind of a balance between, you know, we're not daydreamers here of going, oh, beautiful, and let's do. We don't meditate to get things in action. No, we do. Our work, it includes doing as well, okay? So it's not just this, oh, magic. There's a big part where we need to do all of this. You need to inspect, you need to check, you have to have a system in place, you have to have an inventory.
Another example is like, well, when we started construction, everything was laid out. So all the house placements, all the roads, everything. But that's just from the architect looking at the map and not actually being on the land. So in laying out the roads, we just followed where the roads would naturally go. Never forcing them to places that weren't natural. So it followed roughly what was on the plan, but not exactly. We definitely moved some roads, made them shorter, made them longer. So it was a very organic way of building, where we look at the land and see how we can best utilize it. And that's continued on even with the placement of the houses. I mean, every time David and Claudia come, we change the houses every single time. It's nonstop. It drives me crazy because I put stuff in that is supposed to be fixed, like sewers and utilities. And then David comes along and says, no, let's move it over here. And I'm like, is there a sewer line? That's the main question. So it's been a Wild West adventure.
It's the beauty of allowing yourself to go, okay, this is the plan. And now we find out, wow, and this would be even greater. And then we go, you know what? Let's get this done. Let's change it.
And that is so different, that tirelessness of willing to be in the question and change. Very few people, I'd say even businesses, are willing to do, because they start looking at the cost, right? The cost of changing or adding things. And how different it is what you guys are choosing and willing to make the adjustments that aren't easy after David's put something, but always having, you know, that flow
you also ask the question, what's going to create more? What's greater in the long term, not the short term?
Or it's already done, so we can't change it because we already spend money.
A great lesson in working with Gary is like, well, can you read Gary's mind? No, but if I really fuck up, he'll just tear it all out and redo it. So if I live with that, I can never make a mistake.
That's brilliant. You can never make a mistake if you live with what was that, David Cuddy?
Well, if you're willing to look at the worst case scenario, which is I fucked up completely, it was completely wrong, it was not what Gary wanted. If it really is that way, I know that he will correct it. And so if you know that, then you just carry on. I don't know how to describe it. You just know, if you have the worst case scenario in your mind, that you don't let that limit you. You carry on following your knowing. And even sometimes with Gary, we might not be in alignment at that moment, but but things change. And so if you keep true to your knowing, it all works out. It's true magic.
That's the magic, not the fairies coming and paving the way.
Well, that's so awesome. So far, I've heard, you know, David Cuddy right now saying it's like that trusting of your knowing, you know, maybe looking at the worst case scenario, but continue to trust your knowing. And David Kubis, for you, it's that willingness to step out of conclusion, right? And the fixed points of views to continue to go back into question or, you know, stay in question. Claudia, what did you say was the biggest, I don't know, thing that you've gotten out of the project this far?
Wow.
I think she...
And we can come back to that if something shows up.
She got trained in dealing with two Davids.
That is really hard. Even Gary is worried for my safety now. He's like... You've been with two Davids for a month now. Are you okay?
Well, there's something that you've shared with me, and maybe now or later, but there is something that you know about silence that Elugar invites. Has that changed for you with this project in receiving?
Yeah, it changed a lot. And I have to engage with a lot of people. Last night we were actually talking that I thought I didn't engage with people. I'm like a loner. So I'm like, look, hanging out with you 24/7, guys, it's been a lot of work. And they were like, you hung out with the gardeners, with the construction guys, with the admin, with like, you're surrounded by people. So I'm like, oh yeah, I do engage with people in different ways, but I'm mostly silent. And there is a way to engage in silence that is one of the biggest gifts that I've started to acknowledge.
So what Claudia does when she comes in the morning to the project, she does her tour of engagement. She just walks around, and there are like 65 people working in the project at the moment. She just walks around, is present, and people, knowing that she's there, they just go, they relax because they know she's there. She's willing to listen. They tell her the stories, all this. You know, we are in a Latino country that chisme, that chit chat. that's so important for them. And they know Claudia is there. They can talk to her. They can share the story. They can complain. They can tell her all the problems. But it is not a problem. It's more like this excitement of what was created overnight and what animals came and what it's this... being present with everyone. And Claudia is magic at that. It was like, where's Claudia? Okay, she's here, there, everywhere. Dun, 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 dun.
Brilliant. I love it. And sometimes, yeah, you don't always see your own brilliance, but yeah, I've seen it in action as well. So thank you for that. The other question that's come through is, what is your vision of what Elugar can offer the world? Like, this project from the beginning has not just been Elugar, Gary Douglas, you know, it's really been this huge project to invite something in the world. What can you say about that?
Zoom in.
It's because he loves being Zoom in and talking to everyone.
Yes. They're teaching me how to talk. It's the different possibilities for everything. We seems like in this day and age, we get told, we get pushed into what we think we want, and never a choice. So for me, Elagar is always about choice and possibilities. Yes, we've made choices about certain ways of building. Are they the best way? Who knows? They're just a choice in that moment as an example for people to see and change and make better. But if you don't step forward and create and from a starting point, then you have nothing to present to the world to say, to be able to change. So for me, everything is about choice and possibilities for people. And that's what I would like for El Lugar, is that people always have choice. You know, and my pet thing is to choose between air conditioning or living in this tropical environment, that people should have that choice. They shouldn't just go to an air conditioned environment. They should be able to choose that or not choose it. In looking at energy and how we can save however much, it's not just for the cost, it's for the cost of producing it. You know, as a country, Costa Rica is great because it produces almost all of it sustainably. So it's an incredible country and it to be in too, because it's so environmentally aware and those policies work. I mean, it's reforested itself over the last, I think, 20 years, which has been incredible. So, I mean, it's a wonderful place to be and present more possibilities, because building in Costa Rica, they're very fixed on how they build. To build something different has been very challenging. Now do.
And very fun, right?
Well, of course fun.
So what I noticed, especially as a hotel and as a resort, I hope that El Lugar will be the invitation for everyone who comes to be more present with their life. And I was one of those successful businessmen traveling around the world in first class, staying always at the Four Seasons. I was on an autopilot of functioning. I functioned really well, but I didn't enjoy my life. And what I learned and what I hope that El Lugar will be is this invitation to put yourself back as priority number one, and to be present, to actually question, wait a minute, what would I desire, not what is expected from me, and to have this place where you are invited, because it's there, the possibilities are there. You can be on your phone, but you can go on a horseback ride on lot 2 for 5 hours if you want. And you can engage with nature. You have all this, it's this place of, wow, you have to be present. Turn your autopilot off is not a step back in technology. It's a big step forward. And that's what I learned, especially the last 3 weeks where we were every day on El Lugar. You have to be present, because if you step on the wrong lab, you fall off. If you leave the screen open, the mosquitoes will come in. And if you forget your charger when you're going on lot 2, well, you'll have no phone. So you better, you have no nav, you have no, you know, this, it's not that I don't enjoy technology, but the invitation to have choice, even when it comes to technology and all these basic elements. So for me, El Lugar will be an invitation to live and to have more of life. That's what it is for me already. And it will be that for everyone who steps a foot on its lands.
Beautiful. I'll have to re-listen to the replay to catch that meme and quote it. But that was beautiful. Thank you, David. And Claudia, for you, what is it?
For me, is being willing to listen to this silence and everything that it can tell you. Because everything talks to you at a lugar, every single thing. So if you're really willing to be present with it, you learn so much about living, about life, about joy, and everything around you. So that's an invitation I get every single day.
So beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Just thank you. Because you guys have a way of bringing the story of El Lugar, the energy of El Lugar, the possibilities of El Lugar, to the world in such a different way. You know, you guys were also talking about, you know, all kind of this big dream and ideas and this, not struggles, but the things that you encountered along the way to actually be where it's at today. What would you say would be a tip or advice maybe for people looking to actualize a big vision of their own?
Never give up.
What I would say is don't wait until the plan is perfect. Just take the first step and see where that takes you, and then the next, and then the next. Don't have a plan where it will be. Just know that there will be a next
don't
step.
Push.
Don't push.
Because the moment you try and force, many times it's been for me was, oh, well, we don't have the money to do that. We don't have the money to do that. And it was my impatience and my desire to have things sooner than when it was the correct time. So you need to let go of that push, that drive to have total awareness that everything will work out when you're moving forward. And that's the magic.
Yes, and as you say that, I think of all the details as you're keeping that timelessness or always have that in mind, everywhere from the glass that you chose to the doors, to the wood. I mean, there's so many details. Can you guys speak to any of those parts of, you know, because there's a lot to go in. You're building stuff from the beginning up. It's like all the gadgets, all the screws, all the...
We don't have standards. There are no standards. Everything is hand-picked and handmade. And one of the beauty and the magic of El Lugar is that, I mean, the guy where we buy the wood from, he is as crazy about wood as David Keddie. When you see them kind of extrapolating possibilities, what they can do. You think they talk about a beautiful woman. No, they talk about a piece of wood. What? Whom are they flirting with? No, it's wood. And then they it's just so beautiful that their passion for authenticity and it's beautiful. And these people show up. They don't send in their CVs and we pick them. Suddenly he's there and you just go, wow, the way he talks about wool, wow. So it's I don't know how he came.
And nothing is to be the same. That's the magic of it. I mean, even in designing it, the first four houses, we all walked through the houses and it's like, oh, this needs to change. That needs to change. The next thing needs to change. And so it's totally... So what that does is it allows us to see it, and then for the next, and there's four barrios, four neighborhoods, each one will be different also because we've been improving each time on it. But you go to these big hotels in the last day and every single one is the same. Every single room is the same. And in some of David got me this suite that was just so grand. It was amazing. But what it lacked was this invitation or coziness of, just a cozy invitation of wanting to be in the room. It was so big and so Big is only uninviting. So every room needs to be an invitation for people to hang out.
And you know what, David, you said you started also with the castle project. The castle being as big as it is, as elegant, beautiful with the antiques, has that energy like your home. Like you can relax on that sofa, you know, and have your tea, but not from, oop, don't damage anything. I mean, you're having care with everything, but it's relaxed, home-like. So I look forward to experiencing that at El Lugar. Wow. I'm going to have to hop around each casita. That's it.
Exactly. That's what you have to do.
I didn't plan on it, but as we change, I mean, there are rooms where we go in and go, you know what, that wall that needs to move 1 meter. And also the guys who do the construction, they are with us and then they see our faces and they don't go, okay, let me see how much we charge you and we send you. No, they go, you know what, let's move it. Woof. And an hour later it's moved. And they get it. So it's not, it's, we have them on board creating greater, but we didn't even ask them. They were there, they saw us, and they have this joy of changing it around like crazy. I don't know what they talk about us when they get home.
Really crazy.
But as they all contribute and then they move the wall and then we added another window and suddenly it's just, well, so if you, every single room will be so different. Some people might call it as, oh, they fucked up, it was wrong planned. Oh yeah, I'm so glad that we didn't plan it through all the way. So now we have this possibility of being in the room. It's okay, 1 meter here, let's move the bathroom over here, another window in here. Brilliant. This is why every room will be so unique.
We'll have to just have an event where you get to tour, open your doors and have everyone come through. I love it. And that's the same for the sunset. I know when I was there and, you know, nothing was built yet, but the areas of the houses, all of a sudden it's like, where would I like my casita? You know, looking for the best sunset view. And David Cubas, you said one time, there's no bad view.
They're all amazing.
There is no best view. There's always amazing view. It's just different.
And I love the sky too, because where you think, oh, I'm going to miss the sunset, it reflects to the other side. So you get to enjoy it from all angles. It's something magical. You'll have to go and see it.
And the moonlight in the other side, it's amazing.
true magic. Well, what's next for El Lugar? Because you guys mentioned you got casitas up. That are, you know, you're finalizing some of the details and what you'll add. I think I've seen pictures of you, you know, looking at even silverware and, you know, things of all those details for the bigger part of the resort. What's next right now in construction? So you guys are here at a year. Would you say is next?
So we've paid and planned. We have four neighborhoods. Neighborhood one is done. It will be ready in about 3 months. And we are now in the process of actually contracting neighborhood two. We do it per neighborhood. So we're contracting neighborhood two. We are now getting offers in. We are dealing with different providers in certain areas. We're inviting the providers we have. So we're doing these tenders to get the construction of neighborhood two on. We are finalizing all the electrical cables and the fiber optics. The infrastructure will be finalized in about 3 weeks. And we also, as we got the bank loan approved, we now need to work on a very detailed payment plan. The bank wants to know exactly when we need what money and what we build with it. That's another, I don't know, 3 weeks of sitting over Excel sheets and programming and talking to everyone involved. We need to start looking at the kitchen, at the menu, at all the services. We interviewed people for the booking tool we use. You know, you come in to check in. We need to figure out how we organize housekeeping. Where do we store the towels? So the list is actually endless, but we don't go the checklist day by day. We are aware of what's required and suddenly, someone shows up who knows something and connects us to exactly the company we require. So the list is about, I don't know, it's a 200 action item list. You need to be really aware and present of everything. You need to plan ahead, because in a year from now, it's not long when you are in construction. We also started thinking about the uniforms for our staff. I mean, the welcome, the reception process, how do you want all of that human resource department being organized? How do you want people to book, to pay, you know, all the back end of, it's just, it's endless. And I know one thing, the less I'm stressed about it, the more will get done. The more I relax into it, the more miraculous people will just show up and go, oh yeah, I know someone, cool, let me introduce you. Next day, done, move on.
Brilliant. Anything next with the garden, Claudia, that you'd like to share? Because that was also something you engaged so much with from the very beginning, the garden of possibilities.
There's so much still to go plant and do with the garden. And as soon as construction is like over in one place, then we have to get in with all the plants and don't overdo it. Just do it brilliantly and gorgeously and inviting for everyone. And also one thing we're doing too is the trees, like the other program, the Forest for Future thing, like we have so many new trees, baby trees everywhere. It's so
Oh, wait a minute, talking about trees, didn't we get gifted a few thousand trees from the government?
4,000 just.
We got gifted, the government gifted us 4,000 trees. You know more about it. She just mentions this, you know, like as if it was nothing.
It's what you do, right? Like people do.
That's
that.
Just the magic, yes.
Yes, exactly.
Everyday stuff. Wow, 4,000 trees from the government. Wow, Claudia, can you share more about that?
Well, actually, you know, like the gardener Juan, that is like magic with 2 feet. He was just looking into like plants or something, and he just by chance popped into a program that they say that if you were willing to take care of the trees, that they will gift them to you. But obviously you have to apply and you have to write a letter and blah, blah, blah. But since we love nature and we have like all the everything to do, like nature amazingly, they just look at the letter and was just like, okay, we're this project and we love doing this. And we also have this amount of trees and we have reforest this part of the property. So they were like, oh my God, we love you. And they were gifting 1,000 trees. But for us, they're gonna give 4.
They love you that much more. But that's a huge testament to what Elugar is being, even within Costa Rica, that this is what they do, right? They're so committed to reforesting and nature and sustainability that even Elugar stands out to them as different and greater. That's amazing.
Truly. I think that Elugar blows everyone's mind, including the Costa Rican governments.
Wow. And David Caddy, what would you say is next for Elugar on your area?
Well, it's getting the second barrio is getting all the numbers in for that and getting it rolling, because it takes 3 months for them to get material and get set up. So there's that going on and working on Barrio One at the same time. You know, it's been a long process of training these people and getting them, and it's like, feels like the floodgates are about to open, but I keep, you know, it's all in Costa Rican time, Tico time, and so I have to be very patient. But every step, you know, we get closer to that. It feels like I spent my life doing the work, not training people, and now I feel like I'm having to train people to do things a different way, because they're so used to doing things in a certain way, and it's. Yes, it's been very challenging, especially not speaking Spanish. But slowly, we're getting there.
So not yet. Not yet. Let me say that.
Well, I gotta say, for being part of this project from the very beginning and this vision and seeing all the elements, you guys look great. You guys look happy. I mean, like really acknowledging that, you know, oftentimes when people say they're building homes, you know, as a couple, they're like, oh my God, divorce by the end, right? But this energy of this creation almost seems like it's made you happier, brighter, and
it's an adventure. And we don't have the same points of view. We are totally different, totally different. So it's really fun to end up the day like at 10, like, chatting and asking questions and what are we going to change. It's like, I want this, I would do it this way, and we're so different. That's part of the amazingness of this project.
Yes, it's fun, it's amazing, and it's just brilliant because it works. It truly works, and it truly makes me happy being part of this.
Well, thank you so much for your tirelessness of really just being in the question and continuing to have this vision of a future that has never been created before. So we invite everybody listening now or to the recording to check out El Lugar, the website. So that's LEL/Lugar, LUGAR.com. We also have a newsletter that's going out, so you can register on the website, but we're on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and the gift. Thank you for the recordings. I know, Claudia, you're a big part of, you know, leading this area where we're getting the sounds of El Lugar. You can go right now to YouTube, and it's along with a beautiful video, and it's, I believe, about 19 minutes, and there'll be more sounds coming, which, you know, maybe you'll add them if you choose to meditate and have a massage. It might be the sound you choose now. So, anything else you'd like to say to close up?
Well, I would like to say thank you, Sylvia, for organizing this and for constantly being our voice outside Costa Rica. We are in, and you always make sure that the world gets to know what our crazy heads are creating here. So thank you to you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Yeah. Oh, and just one, almost the hidden secret. We have an El Lugar podcast. It's called This Is Our Earth, where we have amazing interviews from different people. Claudia, you've been on. David Caddy, you are yet to be on. And David Cubis, you're yet to be on. But for me, it is that joy. It is that joy.
We train him. Give him 2 more weeks.
All right, thank you. But it really is where each and every one of us, by the choices we make in any area of our lives, is contributing to our earth. So that's the target with this podcast, is to remind us that whatever area you are choosing in life, raising your kids, building your house, walking the dog, like, what is it that you're choosing to bring out into the world that creates something much, much greater than you can imagine. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for engaging with us in this incredible anniversary and celebration of El Lugar 1 year construction. Thank you, David Cubis, Claudia, David Caddy. Thank you so much. So, and thank you, El Lugar, Gary Douglas, Dr. Dane, Simone Melissus, Brendan Watt, some of the key contributors to this project, and along with all the investors. We have some amazing investors that have contributed to the early stages of this project, and other people that have invested in other ways. Thank you so much. So let's have El Lugar be the most demanded place to visit and to copy and outcreate.
I love it.
And may that be so. Thank you all. Have a beautiful rest of your adventure out there as you explore. Bye everyone. Thank you for listening to this show. My target is to inspire new actions and conversations that empower us all to know that we are the ones creating the future. If you'd like a way to contribute to our podcast, please leave a review wherever you listen. And for information about El Lugar, visit el-lugar.com. Thank you.